Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Right, we are now on to our second item outside of the studio today, and that is with Advocate Paul Hoffman, who is the director at the Institute for Accountability in Southern Africa. And in commemoration of Reconciliation Day, we're asking whether we can hold the government or the ruling party accountable for dividing South Africans through corruption and creating such inequality. Paul Hoffman, welcome.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Sarah. And good afternoon also to your listeners. Happy Reconciliation Day.
Well, my question begs the question, maybe it may not be so happy after all.
Yes, I'm afraid that while there is no political will to address the culture of impunity that is abroad in the country, the culture of unity in diversity does not stand a snowball's hope in hell.
Mm-hmm. What I could ask you, because so much, I read out, we talked about some economic issues about ratings agencies and what they expect of us, and Treasury saying that, you know, they're kind of ready to implement the necessary reforms. But my sense of it is that the ANC's idea of reforms are really not what the rest of us think South Africa needs to make a dent in all those social problems that we talked about. Am I wrong? Are they perhaps more willing than they're given credit for?
I think that the essential structural reform is one to the Criminal Justice Administration to render it a little more efficient and effective at countering serious corruption in the country. While serious corruption continues, the economic solutions to the problems are not going to happen for the simple reason that nobody wants to invest in a country in which corruption is as rampant and as rife as it is in South Africa. So we get the standoff situation where structural reforms are called for. South Africa is part of the United Nations. The United Nations has adopted the Sustainable Development Goals. And one of the sustainable development goals, which is particularly pertinent to South Africa, is that there should be strong institutions of government. Now, the hawks at the NPA, whose job it is to counter corruption, do not strike me as being strong institutions of government, nor are they ever going to be because of the structural problems with the hawks being located in the police, which cannot operate in the manner contemplated by the Constitutional Court in its Glenister judgments. And certainly the NPA, having been hollowed out and decimated during the Zuma years, is in no fit state and won't be for many years to come to actually proactively bring the corrupt to account. That is the dilemma we face on that front.
So essentially, in order to have entities that function properly, they have to be genuinely and truly independent.
Correct. The anti-corruption machinery of state is required to prevent, combat, investigate, and prosecute. And the ANC NEC passed a resolution in August last year in which they said, bring us all under one roof and create a new permanent, independent, standalone body that is able to counter corruption. And government has done nothing about it because there is this paralysis that the main agenda of the Ramaphosa administration can be summed up in 2 points, unity and renewal. And unity is busy trumping renewal at the moment, so the bad eggs that need to be kicked out of the nest remain in the pursuit of unity. Mm-hmm. They remain in the nest, and the renewal cannot take place while the bad eggs remain in the nest. And hence the dithering and, as I say, the paralysis of political will to address the ailments of the South African situation.
And that's, carry on.
No, I'm quite happy to be interrupted. The judges do it all the time.
Yes. I just wanted to ask you about the police, the very fact that we have the most extraordinary series of non-functional relationships at the very top between the Minister of Police and his commissioners. Are we also keeping them on board for the sake of unity?
The Minister of Police actually belongs in a dock. When he was Commissioner of Police, there was an investigation into his fitness for office, and he was found to be incompetent and dishonest. And but for the fact that that Molloy Board of Inquiry was unable to get Lou Shabongo into a witness box to explain what went on with the 2010 World Cup leases for police headquarters, he would have been found guilty of corrupt activity then. What the Molloy Board did was to call upon the Criminal Justice Administration to look into the allegations of corruption and in which Becky Cherry featured. And that has just never happened. And no matter how often we write and how hard we beg, the NPA cannot stir its stumps to do anything about bringing him to account. The commission, the current Commissioner of Police, is involved in that grabber incident going back to Nazareth, December 2017. So he's also as straight as his head. And between them, they have contrived somehow or other to put South Africa in a position that when he gave evidence to the Human Rights Commission in the wake of the July insurrection, the Minister of Police, with a perfectly straight face, said that he has not had a crime intelligence report since December last year. Now, whose fault is that? Is it his fault that he hasn't called for a report which should come at least once a week, if not more frequently? Or is it Crime Intelligence's report? They say it's not their fault because he hasn't approved their budget, because there's some argy-bargy going on about who's entitled to steal what from who. And the country sits in the position where when the President and the Minister of Defense are trying to decide whether or not to deploy the army to deal with the insurrection, neither of them has the benefit of any crime intelligence or indeed military intelligence. The State Security Agency is just as dysfunctional as the rest when it comes to that sort of thing. So we blunder on, and we really are on a trajectory which is rather worrying.
Paul, can I ask you finally just your take on the judgment ordering Jacob Zuma back to jail?
Yes, I can't do that in two or three quick points. I believe that it is jurisprudentially sound and a very solid and brave North African judge who's taken a lot of flack for coming to the conclusion that he reached. I believe that the judgment is appeal-proof. And what is going to be interesting is to see whether the Helen Suzman Foundation, AfriForum, and the DA, in the pending appeal proceedings, ask that the judgment be executed pending the finalization of the appeal. Mm-hmm. That is going to be the $64,000 question for the next couple of months.
Yes, of course. I gather his lawyers have already applied for leave to appeal, as one would expect from Jacob.
Well, that's done to block the gendarmerie from the appearing with the bankruptcy.
Right, of course, of course. Paul, thank you very much for your insight on those issues, and it looks like we'll have to live to fight another day without the assistance of a competent and corrupt government, uncorrupted, government.
Yeah, well, I think we're reaching the point now where it's going to become necessary to do Glenister 4. We're going to have to go back and litigate the issue yet again, which is not really desirable in the sense that you don't get success when there is no political will to achieve the objective that is needed. So we're putting as much energy as we can to trying to persuade those with their hands on the levers of power that it is time to have proper anti-corruption machinery. I think we may be fortified by what comes out in Zondo, and certainly somebody in the ANC has to explain why their August 2020 NEC, National Executive Committee, resolution has not been implemented by Cabinet, because it was expressed as a urgent instruction to Cabinet to do the necessary reform in the Criminal Justice Administration, which will get so many other things to fall into place if I knew it were.
Thank you, Paul. Sorry, I have to stop you there. We're about to go to the news.
I'm over. I'm all done.